War by Women.
Blog Talk Radio.
I think we've done a sufficient intellectual strip tease. So now that everybody's all juiced up, this is exactly the mood we were going for.
Right? Oh my God. So this is our very first inaugural War by Women radio show.
Yes. Is everybody excited? Because I know I am.
I am too. We've been talking about this for how long now?
Shoot, I've been
just
talking
the war
about
by
this
women
for,
in general.
Yeah, I've had people pushing me to do this for like a year. And finally, I got off my ass and said maybe I should do something with this.
Well, it's perfect timing, right?
Exactly.
I mean, it seems like every day we see some other ridiculous, left-wing, crazy lunatic reason why something is sexist, or it's a war on women, or, you know, men are bad, and, you know, women are better. It's insane.
Well, it's just it's a dog whistle, and it's insulting. It's not only insulting to women, but it's insulting to any group that they're trying to pander to. We'll just throw this line out there, and everybody will respond the way we want them to.
Right, exactly. It's the culture of victimization.
Exactly, and that's why we're here to do away with the victim mentality.
Exactly, because you're only a victim if you choose to be a victim.
Exactly. Victimhood is a choice.
Especially when it comes to the war on women. And we talked earlier in the week, and part of the, you know, the Democrats are always saying, oh, my God, there's a war on women, and it's being waged, you know, the GOP war on women. When in reality, there's always historically been a war on women, quote, unquote, but it's being waged by Democrats.
That's
and
right.
And it started back when Democrats didn't want us to vote.
That's right. just lay. It parallels the civil rights movement. That's the way the Democrats voted against civil rights in the 60s. The Democrats formed the KKK. It all parallels.
Yeah, exactly. And so they try to flip it around now and pretend like they're all for women, when in reality they've always been waging this war on women. Back in the 1920, when women got the right to vote, it was because Republicans helped them. It wasn't because of the Democrats. And then, of course, LBJ's Great Society and the war on poverty actually has put more women in poverty and hurt more women than any other program in history.
That's right. Because what we have to remember is these people in power, the majority of them, their only concern is remaining in power. If they have to enslave people to do that, then they have no problem doing that. Because they don't care about the people in this country. The only concern they have is remaining in power, which is why we have people up there who've been there for 30, 40 years.
Right, exactly. It's the ends justifies the means. They'll say whatever they want, whatever they think will get people to believe what they're saying, and in reality never have any kind of facts or evidence to truly back it up.
Exactly.
You know,
and the irony of it is, I mean, if you've got somebody up there who truly put forward legislation or policies that helped the people and strengthened the economy, that you would automatically be in power, because you know people would put you back in.
Right, exactly. Only you would be in a good place of power, because the people would be giving you that power as opposed to you taking the power from the people.
Exactly.
And that's why this whole war on women thing is bogus and ridiculous, because what they're doing is taking power out of women's hands and telling them, oh, no, you're victims. People are trying to keep you down. You can't pay for your own birth control because you're too damn stupid to go down the street to the store. It has to be paid for by your employer, and Big Daddy government's going to make them pay for it. Give me a break.
Can't have it both ways. If you're going to say, you know, my birth control and my reproductive abilities are none of your business, though they are my business if you're making me pay for it.
Exactly. They always scream, stay out of my uterus, stay out of my uterus, but then they're demanding everyone pay for their uterus.
That's right. And if they don't get it, they'll dress up like a uterus and stand out on the street corner. Or was that a vagina? I can't remember. But they can't buy that. They can't buy that stuff anymore. They're boycotting Hobby Lobby, so I don't know how they're going to make another vagina costume. But...
yeah, that's true. That's very true. Just because, and you know, the funny part about Hobby Lobby was the employees weren't complaining. It was just these left-wing lunatics who were complaining.
Exactly. Those are the parasites. The parasites of society. They don't care about strengthening women. They don't care about strengthening blacks or whatever the you know, now I guess it's Hispanics now with the whole immigration thing. It's all about divide and conquer, separate people into herds, because you're just a nameless, faceless, I mean, if you're an individual, you have thought, you have belief, you have opinion, you have uniqueness. If you're just a member of a herd, you're just a cog in a machine.
Well, and what they do by conquering and dividing is everybody's a victim. The only people who aren't victims in this country are white males. They're the only ones who aren't victims anymore, which is actually turning them into the victim.
Exactly.
Of course, Paul, you know, maybe we should start war on men.
There already is a war on men.
Yeah, exactly. And ironically, it's being waged by a lot of men.
That's true.
Because they got to get that women's vote. They got to get the little women's vote.
Yes, well, then you have people that are stupid enough to fall for it and people that are evil enough to perpetuate it. You know, I mean, basically, the feminist movement has taken the husband and traded him in for Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam is the new husband. because women still want that security. And if they're not going to get it from the husband, then they want to get it from Uncle Sam, because, you know, being truly independent takes effort and strength and courage. And most of these, you know, feminists don't have any of that. It's all a facade.
Yeah, exactly. They and it's funny because if you look at the voting trends, women who are married tend to vote conservative, and women who are single tend to vote left-wing. So you're exactly right. They are voting because Big Daddy government is going to take care of them because they can't get a man, or they don't want to get married, but they still need someone to, quote-unquote, take care of them.
That's right. That's why I'm proud to be an anomaly. I'm a single conservative woman. I'm proud of it.
Well, the thing, you're the complete opposite of what, you know, they say women who vote for the left are, and you fit into their little category of being that single woman. But you're actually what, see, there's a difference, because I still believe in feminism, but not left-wing feminazism. Feminism was originally supposed to be about equality, and we're strong and treat us like, you know, and we're independent and treat us the same, because, yeah, we might be different in certain ways, of course, but you know what, we can do a lot of the things that you do, and give us a chance, basically, give us a chance. But instead, it's been flipped around to affirmative action, and we want special treatment instead of equal treatment. That's not strong and independent. That's needy and unequal.
That's right. And that's being crooked, you know, because some of these people, they don't care what kind of narrative you use as long as they get free stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're lazy and crooked.
Well, what's really sad is these women are doing, it totally flipped around from like the 60s and 70s when they were saying, like Brad said in the blog chat, I am woman, hear me roar. Now it's more like, I am woman, hear me meow, because they're not strong, independent women anymore.
That's right. Yeah, I could use a word that I won't use it. Starts with a P.
P-I-B?
No. P-I-B. We still have to do that chant.
Sorry, that was the first word that came into my head. Well, that's oh my God, now we should probably explain that, huh?
Yeah, now we're obligated to explain it.
No. Okay, so there is this feminist, left-wing feminist, I'm going to preface that with left-wing feminist blog about how PIV, which means penis and vagina, is always rape. Even if the woman is enjoying herself thoroughly, it's still rape. So, and I'll let you go a little bit further with that, Christy, and explain even more about it.
Well, basically, it means that these women hate men so much that they hate the plumbing for what it was actually created for. So even pleasure is rape in their mind. Even if you say yes, and even if you initiate it and you want it and you're all about it and you're enjoying it, that's still rape. PIV stands for penis and vagina, and one day Kim and I are going to go to one of these feminazi rallies and chant PIV. PIV. And I think we ought to bring somebody to dress up like a big penis. We can wear like vagina costume and do a role play.
Oh,
that might be
my
fun.
God! Maybe we can have. We already have volunteers.
Yeah, you know, this is how it's done, ladies. Take notes.
Exactly. But that just shows how demented these left-wing feminists, and I again quoting the term feminist. That just shows how demented they have become. It's become not about being strong, independent, and equal, and treated equally. It's about hatred and being treated special and getting special treatment and just vile behavior. because they have so much hatred for men and themselves, in my opinion.
Exactly. It's a form of self-hatred. Because a lot of these so-called feminists are anything but feminine. They don't like to portray any of the beauty in a woman. Anything that makes a woman inherently a woman, to them, is demeaning. They try and be more like men. Well, if you're trying to be more like men and less like a woman, then you're really engaging in self-hatred.
Why would anyone want to act, why would any woman want to act like a man knowing that, I can't put the right words into a place without it not sounding right. But, like, why, you know, why can't they just be themselves, you know? And this is why a lot of times the left will slam beautiful women who as being dumb when in reality they are very intelligent, but they just happen to be beautiful and feminine, as if
right.
it's a bad thing.
Well, I have a theory about that. A good portion of the feminists are not very attractive women. And I think for most straight women, they like to be found attractive by men. And the women who, I mean, if these women were found attractive by men and treated well by them, they wouldn't be feminists. You know,
Ooh.
I think it goes back to, you know, the whole high school thing where you get the girl who's kind of the ugly girl and all the guys pick on her and nobody wants to date her. Well, ultimately, she becomes a feminist because she's got this view of men and it goes to a view of herself.
Not only that, but a lot of times, too, it's that negative, being such a negative, hateful person typically makes someone more ugly. You know what I mean? So
That's
even if you're, you know, somewhat decent of a looking person, sorry, you could be more beautiful based on your, you know, outgoing or your attitude, or you're more ugly because you're so hateful, because that comes from the inside. And a
exactly.
lot of these people, all of these women, are extremely hateful and angry.
Yeah, if you're comfortable in yourself, that'll come through. And that's an attraction that will come through. And ultimately, these women, it's like what we said before, they hate themselves, and so what's on the inside shows on the outside.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then have a whole movement behind it with women dressing up in vagina costumes. So we've come full circle.
Yeah, we have.
I think I'm gonna dress up as a kidney. Whenever if I go out and protest Obamacare, I'm gonna dress up as a kidney or maybe a liver. A liver with a bottle of Jack Daniels in my hand.
Maybe that'll work.
Yeah, because you know, I find it fascinating that these women, the only area of choice in regard to their body that they're worried about is their plumbing. They don't care about choice when it comes to any other part of their body because they'll let the government control that. It's only with the plumbing.
And even then, they kind of want the government to control it because they want the government to interfere with mandates about it.
Exactly.
You know, on one breath, you have them yelling, don't, you know, they want 9 abortion on demand up until the day before a woman's due to give birth. But on the other hand, they're saying, no, stay out of, don't be regulating abortion at all. Like, that's kind of not regulating abortion at all. But that, you know what I mean? Then they want people to pay for it, and, you know, they want government to mandate employers pay for different things instead of, they're just not showing themselves to be equal. They're showing themselves to be needy and demanding. And you're right, they're only pro-choice when it comes to abortion and their vagina. They're not pro-choice when it comes to Second Amendment rights, when it comes to worker freedom, when it comes to school choice, when it comes to a whole slew of other things, but they are pro-choice when it comes to their vajayjay.
And you're going to pay for it, damn it.
Someone's got to pay for it because Walmart's too expensive.
That's right. I can't afford $10 a month because I got to go get that fancy manicure this month.
You know what?
That's about
$100% free form of birth control that women have total control over, and you and I both know what that is.
It's abstinence.
There you go. But oh my God! No.
If you hold an aspirin between your knees, it works 100%. That's a pill that works 100%.
There you go. That's the perfect birth control pill.
There you go.
Well, either that or, you know, give them, you know, pull a Monica Lewinsky, you know? if it's so hard to abstain, you know, do the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky deal and you can still have a good time. You just don't ever have to worry about getting pregnant.
Just have to worry about staying in your dress.
Yeah, exactly. Only I think cleaners are probably better now than they were back in the 90s. That's so bad.
So,
now, you sent me, I don't know if you sent me this article today or I sent this to you. This article today, calling your daughter a princess is now sexist.
Yes, you sent that to me.
So all of a sudden, you know how there's lots of little girls who, you know, daddy's little princess. Somehow that's a bad sexist thing because it's going to make females feel they cannot provide full financial support for themselves because they're princesses, so they need a prince.
Exactly. But see, the irony of it is they've already got Uncle Sam to be their prince. You
That's
know,
true.
Husband,
Uncle
prince, whatever. So, but if you want to call your son a princess, that's perfectly acceptable in this
time. I'm sure the left would actually enjoy that because, you know, it's changing the gender norms.
Yes, and emasculating men. That is also a goal of the feminist movement, is emasculating men. And it makes single women like me very unhappy. I mean, no red-blooded American woman wants a bunch of pajama boys running around. Might as well go to a desert island and be to myself with my favorite clients and good batteries.
And drinking his hot cocoa at his mommy and daddy's basement in his onesie.
That's right.
Come on.
It doesn't really do too much for me, honestly. Does that thing have a trap door?
Oh my God. You know, you're right. I think I saw an article recently. It's called The Feminization of Men. So it's the same thing, emasculation or feminization of them. You know, they shouldn't hold doors open for women because that's like a power trip. They should look more to their feminine side and touch base with their feminine side so they can really understand women better. What are they going to be with? Oh, wait, I've actually seen pictures of them wearing dresses, so forget it.
Yes. See, that's the new thing now. Men wearing dresses, lipstick. I mean, I can't talk about this because I'll end up vomiting on my phone. And nobody wants that. I don't want to have to clean that up, so.
Right, exactly. No, but you're right. And, like, you know, supposedly, you know, a lot of the times, especially leftist women, will say that men who are pro-Second Amendment, because they're lacking in manliness, they're trying to be more manly. Really? If that's the case, then what about women who are pro-Second Amendment and who like to shoot and protect ourselves? What does that make us? I certainly don't want balls. I don't want anything dangling between my legs. So what does that make me? I don't want to be manly.
Oh, I guess I would say something right now, but I won't.
No, but seriously, and that's so they're basically what they're saying to men is, hey, you need to have a gun to feel manly. You're not manly enough without a firearm. But how about all the millions of women who have firearms too? I mean, they ruin their own case and destroy their own case because it's full of crap.
Well, that's why they don't like conservative women, because conservative women do feminism better than liberal women do, because conservative women are the true meaning of the word.
Right, exactly, because we're strong, we're independent, we promote equality, we promote independence, and we don't promote this dependent ideology or thought, especially on the government. If anything, we want the government the hell out of our lives. And
our strength on others' weakness. I mean, that's the thing about liberal feminism, depends on weakening men. Well, if you have to weaken another group, then that's not true strength. The only person you can weaken is somebody who's there to do you harm.
No, you're totally right, and that's what it is. And that's the other thing I was going to say is we don't hate men. We love men, and we believe that we're equals with them, and, you know, they have certain strengths, and we do, and we can work with each other as a whole, not as, you know, you're bad, you're evil, I need to have power over you because I need to make you feel like you're a bad person just because I'm a woman.
Exactly. And women should embrace everything about their femininity that makes them women, as men should embrace their masculinity. And it's the two that benefits the society as a whole. It's not making everybody more like men or more like women. You need the balance between the two. And that's what we're losing.
Exactly. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember years ago when women were demanding to be allowed to be firefighters. And I can't remember what. I think it was in the 90s. I want to say the 90s. It might have been sooner. I can't remember. And I remember thinking to myself, listen, a 125-pound woman, how is she carrying a 225-pound man down the stairs or whatever? No, she's going to be dragging him and barely being. Yeah. I think there's actually a video of this with his head hitting every stair. I mean, there's certain things, you know, there's certain things that just because you want to doesn't mean you should.
Exactly. I mean, it's not about political correctness and, we have to make everybody feel good and nobody's feelings should get hurt. Well, maybe somebody's feelings should get hurt sometimes if the truth is, you know, truth stings a little bit. But it's like an antiseptic. It heals. It's what heals and cleans things out. But the liberals are kind of like the little kid who scrapes his knee, doesn't want his mom to pour the hydrogen peroxide on it because he knows it might sting.
You just pour that stuff on anyway.
That's right. And, you know, that's a good kind of sting. You know, truth, we need more truth. We need to be thankful we live in a country for now, although we're losing it, where we can say things that need to be said, even if they offend people. I would rather live in a country where somebody has the potential to offend me than live in a country where I have to walk on eggshells or, you know, screw that. Say what you're going to say. And the thing about it is, we've done it to ourselves. It hasn't been the government imposing some kind of speech regulations. It's been the society.
Right, exactly. And we allow, people don't pay attention, so they allow things to happen. And, you know, it's little pieces here and there, but over time, you're getting a lot of your rights taken away because no one's paying attention. Or they're listening to, these idiots who are saying, you're a victim, you're a victim, you're a victim. We have to change the laws to protect you. Meanwhile, they're really taking your rights away, too. But you don't know it because that's not what you're told.
Exactly. Because you're too busy watching the Kardashians or whatever the hell kind of tripe is on TV.
Oh, my God. I've never seen that show. I think I'd probably smack my TV.
I've never seen it either, thankfully. No, I like to watch Sanford and Son. It's much more offensive. Or Archie Bunker.
Sorry, speaking of men, my husband just came in here, opened the door and said, I'm going to bed. I'm like, really? Seriously.
Well, Well, if you want to join it.
He's going to take the student bully with him, though, so. So if anyone, we just, the call number is in the chat room. If anyone wants to call in, 347-205-9620. We'd love to get your thoughts and opinions, or maybe you have other stories or ridiculous artifacts of what these lunatics are doing all the time.
Yeah, it will be kind of like the conservative version of The View, but will be less annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be great. I'd love to have a panel of people, of women, men. It doesn't even matter. See, that's the difference as well, between the difference between us and women on the left is men aren't allowed to talk about women's issues.
Oh, I saw last night that guy Jesse Waters was trying to interview people at the Now convention or whatever, and he was told to go away by the police. He was written like a warning citation that if he came back, that he'd be put in jail because he was trespassing on their space. So
it's one of the most useless organizations to ever come into existence. All they are is a left-wing arm of the Democrat Party who just get filled through the Democrat Party and dumb women to be a part of them and follow them. I'm trying to think of a good acronym to call them instead of what it is.
Well, maybe that'll be the challenge for next week. Come up with a better acronym for Now.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. I'm going to put it in the blog.
We don't have a prize for the best. We don't have a prize. Whoever has the best acronym can be the guy who wears the penis costume at the rally.
National Organization of Whiners.
That's a good one.
We should get a list going of it during the week, and we can talk about it next week, because I guarantee some of the people we know will come up with a good acronym for them.
I'm sure.
But, you know, that's another women's organization that's supposed to be about, you know, making women stronger and, you know, pushing for independence and strong women, and it's not partisan, but apparently it, you know, they're just, again, left wing. You know, they don't call out anyone who bashes women on the right, like, what's that jerk's name, Bill Mayer, when he called Sarah Palin the C word, and he called her the T word before. I don't know what I can get away with on this, so I don't want to say any really bad words. they didn't say a damn word.
Exactly. Well, it's all, but, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about the feminists, or the racist race pushers, or any of the unions. They're all just front groups for the left.
Right, exactly. And they can just get away with and do whatever they want, and no one's going to call them out for it because they have the media in their pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Which is another reason why, you know, social media is so important, because we're doing the jobs that the media refuses to do.
Exactly, because we're, you know, everybody out there, and especially in new media, is researching issues and posting the things that the mainstream media won't post, and then spreading it around. And sometimes that actually gets forced to be pushed to mainstream media, but, you know, it doesn't happen as often as it should.
Exactly.
But that's a huge issue.
Well, you know, it's nice to know that MSNBC has about 5 people that watch them. So that tells you that the hardcore leftists, they're really not as popular as they'd like to think they are.
No, that's why left-wing radio doesn't survive, except for NPR, because we freaking subsidize those fools with tax money.
Exactly.
I mean, was it Air America that was the epic fail?
Yeah, that's right. Even Keith Olbermann had to go back to ESPN.
They actually took him back?
Yeah. I don't know what time he comes on, but but he's back on there. I remember
him
when
he must have had something on somebody.
I remember him when he was a two-bit sportscaster in L.A. on one of those local stations. And he wasn't any good back then either.
Well, apparently he wasn't. I never saw him on ESPN that I can recall, but apparently he wasn't very good on ESPN when he was on it originally. So he must have had some goods on someone to get back on ESPN, because that's pathetic that they hired him again.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the guys that's like in the top five on my power wedgie list.
I have other ideas of torture for him, but he'd probably enjoy them. He's one of those huge, epic pieces of crap that will say whatever he wants, no matter how horrifying of a lie it is. He will just say it. He doesn't care if it's about women. He doesn't care if it's about men, as long as, of course, they're all on the right. He is really horrible.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Some of the things he's called women, like Michelle Malkin. He's really gone after her, Palin. And, I mean, you know, I'm not a huge Palin fan. I'm not one of these on the Palin bandwagon kind of people, but I have nothing against her. Her philosophy's basically right. But, you know, I mean, the people that absolutely go over the top to hurl insults and just foulness towards her, there's no reason for that. It just shows that you don't have any meat in your own philosophy.
Sorry, I'm coughing. I caught myself on mute. No, I agree with you. I don't believe in bashing other people just for the hell of it because of what their philosophy is. Bash them for a reason, something stupid they said, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, the left just goes all out. They don't care who you are, especially left-wing males are the worst. They are the biggest misogynist sexist on the planet. I mean, I think it was Ann Coulter who said Teddy Kennedy, who was this big, revered Democrat for all the years of his life, is the only confirmed kill in the war on women.
Exactly.
You know, and then Bill Clinton, he came here a couple years ago to show for the female governor we have, and I was like, great, been misogynist, Bill Clinton is coming here. That's just great.
Well, has anybody called in yet?
I don't know. Am I supposed to be able to know? I guess we just have a caller. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to work this. Hello?
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 Who do we have here? Hello?
Can anybody hear me there?
Yeah.
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah. I'm starting to wonder if you're going to have me on hold forever. This is hey, Christine. Hey, Kimberly. This is Kurt. I'm at it. Can you hear me?
Oh, hey, Kurt.
Hey, I was starting to wonder if you guys had that system figured out yet. Yeah, I'm
flying blind here, so.
Okay, hey, let me take you off the speaker real quick, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure that's something to learn there. Yeah, I just wanted to add to your point about how the leftist feminist groups. How they're not really for women's rights. They're the same leftists who supposedly take up the cause of all these different oppressed groups. And the only reason they do this type of thing is because they perceive an opportunity to drive a wedge between groups of people, and that's how they derive their power to oppress everybody, including the groups that they claim to stand up for. Because, and you know this is true because of all the issues they remain silent on, that they could truly stand up for the rights of women. All that's going on in the Middle East and Sharia law, and as you guys brought up before, when when people say nasty things about conservative women, or when conservative women rise up in politics, there's nothing that makes them matter, and they try to tear these same people who claim to be for women's rights and for women moving up in the world. They will tear down a conservative woman in a heartbeat in the most vicious way. And if they were truly about women's rights, they would not do that. They would lift them up. They might have disagreements with them, but they would not trash them in the way that they do. And how is it that these leftist groups like NOW are on board with every single leftist idea? How is it that women's rights are tied with wealth redistribution, illegal immigration? They can find a way to work women's rights into every one of those issues, and they're always 100% in line with all the socialist ideas, whether it has anything to do with women or not. And it's telling that they're not, that they're that way, and what it tells us is that they don't give a damn about women's rights. They only care about advancing a leftist agenda, which suppresses all of our rights, homosexuals, women, minorities, you name it. They're out to get all of our rights, and they will use these issues and pretend they're for freedom for women or for black people or for gay people. And really what they want to do is control every one of us, regardless of our sexual orientation, our gender, our race, you name it.
Well, and that's what the left-wing minions, quote-unquote feminists, don't get. While they're trying to put, you know, the left is trying to say, oh, there's a war on women, and we're going to help you. We're on your side. Meanwhile, they're taking away First Amendment rights, Second Amendment rights, and pushing more controls into place and more regulations into place that hurt all of us, including women. Actually, taking away Second Amendment rights hurts women even more than men. But these women are too damn dumb to see that.
Right. And I think that Republicans in general, or at least the ones in D.C., do a horrible job of making that case. I meet so many people who think they're feminists, you know, and they mouth these platitudes that they keep hearing on TV, and they haven't really thought deeply about it. And when I run it, I talk to people every day, and sometimes it gets me in trouble about these issues, and it's amazing, they look at me like I'm from another planet when I bring these ideas forth to them. They've never heard these things before, and it just seems to me that if the Republicans in D.C. would stand up and take these easily defensible positions instead of being afraid of being labeled anti-women, that we could turn the tide. And yet so seldom do I see anybody with any amount of balls in D.C. to stand up and speak against these truisms that the left and the media has put out all these years. I find it infuriating when somebody is accused of being anti-women and they issue an apology or that was badly worded when it was a perfect opportunity to stand up and make a defense that most people have never heard before. And once they hear it, I'd say 90% of the people I talk to that take one position that would be something put out by the media. And it's so easy to destroy their belief because it's not really based on facts and logic. And it's just crazy how the Republicans just refuse to stand up in all these issues regarding race and feminism and all that.
Okay. We have someone on the phone now.
Well, let me just address that real quick.
Okay.
You have to remember that there are progressives on both sides of the aisle. And
yes,
some of these people who claim to be, you know, conservatives, Republicans, they might not really want to refute those things because you have a ruling class and a working class, and there are people in Washington that want to keep it that way on both sides. So that's our challenge, is to clear those people out, put people in who actually love the Constitution.
Yeah. They're more interested in protecting their own cushy positions, and they see those accusations as a threat to their own cushy positions instead of actually standing up for principles of freedom. Yeah, I agree with you guys. Hey, good show. I'm still listening. I'll leave it with you. And thank you for putting me on.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for listening. That was great.
All righty. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. I wasn't going to have him get off the phone. I think someone else is on the line now.
Hello?
Do we have somebody? Hello?
Hi there.
Who do we have here?
Hi, this is Ed.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for calling. What do you want to say?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, it's a tough fight to try to change the structure that they already have, because they have such a welfare state in place that I think that, you know, more women are turning to Uncle Sam to be their daddy. And it's, you know, it's a shame how few people in the inner cities have two parents anymore. And, you know, it's the real fight should be trying to bring back the family and ending the welfare state. But I don't see it coming from the Republicans or the Democrats, because they are the ones that built the welfare state.
That's true.
That's a good point, because that's by design.
Exactly.
The war on poverty, you're right. In the black community, 72% of children are to single-family homes. I mean, it's pretty – the war on poverty has all but destroyed the black community. And obviously that was intentional, although some people who were behind it probably didn't realize it was, you know, going to have bad effects. But it's still – they're still pushing it today further and further and further, even though they know all the damage it's done. And that's – doesn't do anything to help women or their children. That is crushing women and their children who fall into those categories.
Right.
Yeah, so that's why we need to, like, push for the 10th Amendment Center and the 10th Amendment rights to try to bring the states back, to try to loosen the effect of the federal government and their welfare society they're playing upon us. I wish girls luck. Sounds like you got a good show going for your first show. Hopefully it'll continue on.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Ed.
Yep, you got it. Bye.
Well, I'm glad the men are liking us.
They typically like women who think for themselves.
Exactly. Well, that's the point about the war by women is It's for women and the men who love them.
Yeah, exactly, because in reality, you don't fight against each other, you support each other, right?
Exactly. Because we're all in the same boat.
I don't know, was there somebody else on the line? I can't keep paying attention.
Well, I don't know if I'm on the line.
Hey,
oh, who's that?
This is Brad Marston.
Yeah, I recognize
Hi, Brad.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and congratulate you not only on your first show, but really what you guys have been what you guys, ladies, have been doing for years in fighting the war by women before it was even defined as that. What you need to realize is your tweets, your Facebook posts, now with your radio show, you empower conservative men to leverage and kind of broadcast your position, because it's sort of like, you know, often it's like a white can't talk about black racial issues without being branded a racist. And often I feel, and I think a lot of conservative men feel, well, we can't comment on women's issues without being branded a sexist. And so the message you two put out is just so empowering. And I just, and I'm so excited about the fact that you've brought it to radio as well.
Well, great. I appreciate that word. That's encouraging to us too.
No, you know what, and Brad, that's one of the big problems is that you, for some reason, you're not allowed to speak about it. And I've seen that. I've seen them say, you don't know what you're talking about. You have no business saying anything because you're a man. Really? You want me to pay for your birth control, but I can't talk about why I don't want to or, you know, talk about the whole point of birth control? Like, men aren't allowed to talk about Hobby Lobby. Did you know that?
Yes. No, it's, I mean, because if you say anything against the leftist progressive agenda for women, you're a misogynist. But then they feel entirely empowered to talk about men's issues. It's like, well, wait a second. If I'm not empowered to talk about women's issues that affect women, affect men, affect everyone, then how are you empowered to talk about men's issues? It's
exactly.
A, I mean, the double standard is just amazing.
Well, that's when you you can get a slogan that says, keep your laws out of my prostate, or something like that.
Well, the thing is, Brad, if you would just be on the left-wing women's side, you'd be able to talk about it all you want. There's men who claim they are feminists, too, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, those are the ones that have already had their nuts taken away.
Those are the pajama boys
that?
Of the world.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly.
We probably should find out what words we're not allowed to say.
I don't think there are any on BTR.
Ooh.
Don't tell us that.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
That could cause real problems some nights.
It's a good thing this show isn't on Friday night.
Oh, my God, right?
Yeah.
We'd have to call it The War by Women, starring Potty Mouth 1 and 2.
Actually, I don't think it's 1 and 2 because I'm pretty sure you're tied for first.
Oh, Frisky?
But, you know,
both tied for first? Oh, my God, yeah.
The previous caller made a great point, and this is something that I ask myself, and I'd love to hear your opinion. You know, when people talk about, the people on the left talk about growing income inequality and decline of the median family income, but nobody talks about the decline of the median family. I mean, in 1972, there were, I think, 140,000 households headed by never married single women. And today there's somewhere between 14 and 18 million households headed by, I mean, in 1972, the typical median family of four was a mother, a father, and two kids. Today, increasingly, the median family of four is a never married mother without a college degree with three kids by two or three different fathers. And the idea from the left that woman and her family is going to have the same standard of living as a married couple with two kids of 40 years ago, I think it's just, it's crazy. And since we're not focusing on the right, since we're not admitting problem, there's no way we can focus on the right solution. What do you guys think of that?
I think it's totally correct, because if they can break up the family, they've already started the erosion. Because, I mean, that's one of the reasons why the founder said that this country would never survive if it wasn't run by moral people, or if the population didn't have morals. Because that's like the glue that keeps it all together. And if you can break up the family, then you've already won half the battle.
And that's been part of their goals for decades, is to break up the family.
Right.
And they keep perpetrating the crime on women, in my opinion, by saying to them, yeah, sure, have all the kids you want. Big Daddy government will take care of you. You don't have to have a husband. You don't need no stinking man to have babies and raise babies. And these are the women who are living in poverty, cyclical, generational poverty, because they're sitting there with Big Daddy as the daddy of their babies, as opposed to the actual father being part of their kids' lives and their lives.
Exactly. It's like that video that I saw not too long ago about that woman who had like seven or eight kids, and she said, look, I got all these kids and somebody's going to have to pay for that. You know,
actually, Chrissy, it was 15 kids.
Was it? I can't remember.
And she said, somebody's got to be responsible for this.
That's right. There you go.
And I'm sure about 8 million conservative heads exploded when they said, well, couldn't we start with you?
Exactly.
But
here, I'll give you money right now to go get your tubes tied. I'll donate out of my own bank account for that.
Right?
And,
but that's the mentality that we have now. That's the mentality we have, especially with these Planned Parenthood victimizing lunatics who push this kind of thing, you know, this for women, or, you know, you can do what you want, you can just get all the abortions you want. They don't push values anymore. It's just, it's like they push do what you want as opposed to do what's right.
Well, it's that whole if it feels good, do it, taken to the extreme. Now, you know, hippies in suits, that's what we have running the country now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, listen, I wanted to call in and congratulate you both. I am so excited to be designing the site for War by Women. And listen, fight on.
Amen, brother.
Thank you, Brad. Wait to see this
All
night,
right.
too. It's going to be awesome.
Thanks for calling in.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks. Bye, Brad. You know, Brad brought up a good point about having women like us, and I know we know there's a bunch out there, and once we get the website out, we're gonna post their links to their sites and everything. But he brings up a good point. Like, we can say the things, you know, about these women's issues that men aren't allowed to say, but then these guys can turn around and share it, or these guys can talk about what we said, you know, and take it from that point. Whereas if they just jump into a conversation with some left-wing nut, they're immediately shut down because they happen to not have vagina.
Exactly, which is why we need as many women to join this movement that we have as possible, and we can be our own army of men-loving women instead of men-hating women.
Well, exactly, and you know what? Even, you know, I know lesbians who are not left-wing lunatics. They are, you know, just like we are. And they, you know, they don't agree with the left-wing feminazi attitude either. You know,
oh, exactly.
They may not like PIV, but hey, you know, they're still conservative.
True. To each own, right. That's the problem with the left. They paint everybody with such a broad brush. And, you know, and that's
right.
The point of emphasizing the importance of the individual. You know, it's like it's like snowflakes. Everyone is different. If you look at it under a microscope, each one is different. It's got its own uniqueness. And in the leftist world, it's all just sameness. Because it's easier to control everybody if everybody's the same.
Right, that's because they want a collective, and they absolutely despise individualism.
Exactly, because that's individualism, a sign of strength.
Exactly, and they can't control power and control people if there's individuals who think for themselves.
That's right.
And that's why I don't get, you know, years ago, I've always been a strong, independent woman, and years ago, I always thought, yes, you know, we should be equal, we should have equality. You know, if I go for this job and I can do it, I shouldn't get it because of affirmative action. I should get it because I'm the best person for the job. Yet,
that's right.
Yet we just have so many people telling women, nope, you still need affirmative action. Scott Brown and that lunatic Pocahontas Lizzie Warren put Frank into place that had affirmative action in the financial services industry. And I was outraged. How many years have women been fighting to prove that we can do the job just as good as men and that we're equal and that we can work just as hard and, you know, get the same education, but then they put affirmative action in it, which is basically like smashing us over the head and saying, no, sorry, you're still not good enough. You still need some affirmative action from Big Daddy government.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody on the phone?
Oh, another Boston call. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is you know. I forget what I was going to say.
No, it's just John.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know who
it was. I was trying to get J.J. Mars to call in from Florida, but he's busy trying to find a job. So figured I'd call in and wish you good luck with the show.
Great.
Thank you.
And thank you for doing this. And I've been posting and tweeting and pushing that War by Women tag for a while now, and I think it's a great idea.
Well, oh, you want a drink for that.
That's right. Hashtag beer me.
That's right.
But now I'm in Twitmos, so I only have 36 followers in my Twitmo account, so I can't give you too much press there. But RPA and other groups are now seeing this, so hopefully we can a big audience within a short period of time.
Go out and rattle some cages and get some more people to call. We wanted a round table, and this at this point doesn't even have three sides.
Well, I think we have connections for great panelists and lots of great conservative women that have been doing pretty much the same things in their own way. You know, I'm sure we could get an Anne-Marie Morel to call in from Politichicks, and we could get, Terry Kristoff from Smart Girl Politics, and maybe Harriet Baldwin can work on getting Michelle Malkin to call in at some point, or Katie Pavlich or someone like that, and we can start promoting the show with great, you know, big-name conservative women who reject false premises and really want to flip this stupid war on women narrative by women narrative. So I think it's a great start.
Good.
No, I agree. I'm actually reading Katie's book right now. I hope when I'm away on my girlies weekend that I'm able to finish it, because it's a lot of the stuff that Christy and I have been talking about for the past few years. But Katie put it all in a nice book with all kinds of examples. So I'm looking forward to hopefully reading that this weekend. And by the way, there is a guy on my girlies weekend, but he happens to be gay, so he's allowed.
Well, that's what he's
See,
telling
you
anyway.
We're not haters. We're not haters.
Anne Marie and Dr. Gina and Morgan Brittany also have a book out too. So, What Women Want.
Oh, really?
That's great.
It pretty much nails the we're conservative women. We don't want what the feminazis say. You know, we would actually like men who are men. I did give them grief because they did not have a chapter on Bald is Beautiful, but they promised that they would use my hashtag and devote a full chapter in their sequel. So,
well, maybe when Brad gets our website done, we'll have him just have a section for Bald is Beautiful. A page.
That would be good.
Page that. You'll have your own page.
I hope so. So,
you know what? We
what
do
we
that.
Have,
we
what do we have on the
we
agenda
have all conservative
for,
bald guys supporting us on there.
Well, I have a team, Bald is Beautiful. We can get Joe the Plumber to call in. We can get Kevin Jackson from the Black Sphere. We can get Rich Lowry from Put Growth First, Herman Cain's former economic advisor. We've got a whole bunch.
Yeah, exactly.
We could get them pushing the War by Women crew in exchange for pimpage of the Bald is Beautiful hashtag.
You see how men and women can work together?
We can work together.
That's right.
It's a give and take relationship. We don't hate you.
That's right. All the men are invited to our party.
That's right. And we can get Charlie Rangel to come, too.
No. I draw the line.
So somebody asked me in the chat room to do a Charlie Rangel imitation, so I was practicing by smoking cigarettes, chain smoking, so I could have like this.
And it goes so well into Susan Estrich, too. I mean, they're very similar.
Yes, Susan is a little bit ditzy. Yes, she kind of sounds like my mother.
Oh my God!
My mother is not ditzy, by the way. Just in case there's a podcast and she hears it.
Good thing your mom's not listening.
No, she does have a Facebook account, but I have a feeling she's not on Facebook right now.
Okay, that's good
right.
Thing too.
So anyway, I just want to jump in and wish you good luck, and I will do whatever I can to promote it. I look forward to all these shows as you move forward, and rock on.
Excellent.
Thank you, John.
Thanks,
okay,
John.
Guys. Yeah. Have a great show.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bald is Beautiful.
I know. We have all the men calling in. See? I knew it was that striptease music. That's what
it is. Actually, I think a woman is on the line right now.
Excellent.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Welcome to the airwaves. I think that War by Women Rock. This is Jennifer Montrose calling in from the co-host with Scott on the American Sovereignty Radio. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out and say that I've been sharing with some other people what's going on with the new show. I talked with Jan Morgan. She rocks with the Second Amendment, training women how to protect themselves. She's just really good. So I talked with Anita Moncrief as well. Let her know about your show. And, you know, I believe that this is the season that the women are going to rock in politics. I believe that we, as a conservative base, our voice is going to be heard. We're going to triumph over the media propaganda that has been, you know, blasting people like Sarah Palin and Sharon Angle and various other women out there, and I believe that this is our season. So my hats off to you guys, girls, I mean, and do whatever is necessary, you know, to get out there and share the message. I've thoroughly enjoyed the communication that we as women have had since 2011 when Herman Cain was running for president. There's a lot going on out there right now, and I think that we as women need to step in and do some things. So just kind of keep your ears peeled. There's been some discussion about having a conservative women's leadership conference in Hot Springs, Arkansas, which would also combine with the Gun Cave range that Jan Morgan owns, possibility for that coming up in 2015.
Ooh.
So just wanted to give you guys a shout-out and say I'm glad to see that you're on the airwaves. We have needed this for a long time.
Thank you, Jennifer, so much, and you rock.
Yes, we know how hard you work, too.
We
the immigration situation is really crazy. We're working, now with I talked earlier today with Chief of Staff for Jeff Sessions, Senator Sessions today. There's some things that we're putting together, you know, to try to coordinate with the Make Them Listen movement to really move forward and to stop the border surge, to stop the illegal immigration. We want the laws to be followed. We want the borders to be shut down, and we want people to come in the right way. This is to protect you and me and everyone else across this United States. But I do believe that this is a season for women, and war by women is definitely what it's about. Not war on women, but war by women. We are going mm-hmm. to do our part. I had a 90-year-old man a few years back when I was working in healthcare who said to me that his wife, he may be the head of the household, but his wife was the one that controlled the net. So I think that we as women have our place, and it's on the front line. And we are going to be a voice that's going to be heard 2014, 2015, 2016, and beyond. So anyway, you guys rock, and I will let another caller call in. So just wanted to give you guys a shout out.
Well, thank you,
You're
Jennifer.
Awesome, Jennifer. And you know what? It's great to be on the front lines with you.
Amen. It is. You know, we have a great group that we've been staying in touch with, and I am just tickled to death to be a part of that. There's a lot going on right now all across the United States, people that are gearing up to get prepared, you know, for the battle front lines, you know, and hopefully, you know, we will be stopping a lot of this voter corruption and the other things that we see happening within our own party and outside of our party, you know, so
mm-hmm.
for those that are involved in the conservative movement. You know, to spread the values that we have shared long before Ronald Reagan. So, thank you guys again.
Yep.
Yes. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Excellent.
Jennifer's awesome.
Yes.
You know,
and
that's,
she works hard.
Oh, God, yeah. And you know what the thing is? There are a lot of strong conservative women who fight and who have been fighting for years. The problem is we were, and I can't say we because I didn't start fighting until the end of 2008. But previously, you know, those who were outspoken and fought were just slammed down. And a lot of times people, and I found this in 2009, a lot of times women didn't want to say something back, didn't want to be a bitch, you know what I mean? Didn't want to get into that sandbox and fight against left wing people who are nasty.
Right.
But I find that now more women are fighting back and saying, screw you, buddy. You know what I mean? Whereas before they might just
exactly.
be quiet and not say anything.
Well, you know, that's why I love Phyllis Schlafly, because back in the 70s, she was doing this, you know, when she was the only one of the few out there, and she was fearless and bold. And now
yep.
we have women carrying that mantle because we have to. I mean, you know, look what's happening to our country. The time is now to either stand up or shut up, or put up or shut up, and, you know, choose your side. But you're going to have to pick a side. At some point, eventually, everyone is going to have to pick a side, or we're going to lose our country. So
yep,
it's not
exactly.
a matter of just you know, doing the political thing as a hobby anymore. It's doing it as a means of survival now. And things are happening.
Well, exactly,
so fast.
Because our country has gone so far the wrong way. And this is both sides' fault. I'm not blaming only one side, but Obama just has pushed it over the freaking cliff. If they wanted to move forward, yeah, they're moving us forward right over that cliff. And
oh, yeah.
if we don't stop this and turn it around and put it in reverse, we are totally screwed. I mean, I don't even, honestly, all the damage that's been done to this country over the past several decades. This isn't something that happened overnight by any means. All the damage
exactly.
that's been done to this country over the past several decades, I don't know, can, number one, turn it around. Number two, turn it around in time so that we can't, I mean, it's going to take decades to get out of this mess, regardless. But do we have the right people in place, or will we, in by 2014, 2016, will we have the right people in place who can actually put the brakes on and hit the reverse? You know?
Yeah. And that's why what we're doing is so important. Because if we don't get this thing at least stopped by 2016, you know, I fear that we're done. So we basically got, we've got maybe just a couple of years at the most to fix
yep.
it, or at least stop it, so we can turn it around. You got to stop it before you can turn it around.
Right. So. I agree with you, and that's my limit is 2016. God forbid that fossilized hag, Hillary Clinton gets elected. This country, that's it. The country's over, as far as I'm concerned. That heinous beast got elected.
That's right. And I can't understand people who would actually vote for this woman. I mean, they must be, it's almost cult-like.
It is. There's just, this woman has a horrible history of being a horrible person. Not only did she enable her misogynist, serial assaulter husband to keep victimizing more and more women, but then she turned them into victims again by turning on them. What in the ever-loving is wrong with these people?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is, I can understand it from her perspective because she's a power-hungry, you know?
Right,
but
of course.
I can't understand it from the perspective of people who support her, just the average person. Who, I mean, I just want to, you haven't been paying attention, have you, if you're supporting this woman? I mean, she's responsible for the deaths of four people, at least, that we even
that's
know
that's
just
a minimum, yeah. That's at a minimum.
But
no,
if, you know,
I don't.
But if she comes out for GMOs, then people jump ship. But,
oh,
you know.
My God. That was on. So to the audience, Christy and I tag team the Ready for Hillary pages on Facebook. I mean, they come into our news feed, so we comment on them. We can't help ourselves. So all this stuff that Hillary's done, all this stuff, Benghazi not picking up the phone at 3 a.m. and lying about it and continuing to lie about it, the thing that her followers get pissed off about, friggin' GMOs. I mean, seriously. We should just push that. Christy, we should just push that until we find out if she's going to run or no. She's a GMO whore.
You know, that's a good strategy. Of course, I also have my Hillary Clinton voodoo doll. That,
oh, nice.
My sister-in-law gave me for Christmas the first time she ran in 2008 a dog chew toy that was Hillary with some straight pins, and I used them.
Oh, my God.
And the funny thing about it is, when I started using them, that's when she started her downfall.
Oh, my God. You have to send me a picture of that.
Oh, I'll take a picture of it. I think she's still got the
yeah,
pins
we'll,
in her.
We'll put it somewhere. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
That was fun. So, yeah, if she does decide to run, I'll be getting that thing out again.
To be honest with you, I think the left is up to something because, you know, Hillary's out there. They keep pushing her. And I know her approval rating isn't that high with the majority of the country. I think they're pushing her so that no one's attacking anyone else who's really going to run. I mean, could it potentially be Pocahontas and Cory Booker? Who knows? But I think that they're, because you can never trust the left, of course.
Right. That O'Malley guy from Maryland said he might run. He's insisted.
Oh,
I can't stand him.
He's coming to New Hampshire for some Democrat dumbass thing this week.
Throw some eggs at him.
You know, a good...
the good and the bad of living in New Hampshire is, you know, the good part is all kinds of candidates come here, you know, including Ted Cruz, who I really like and got to interview. But then, you know, the bad candidates come here, like Chris Christie was here last week. I had wanted no part of that crap.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
What's he doing there? He ought to go back to his own state. New Jersey's a mess enough as it is.
He's endorsing or pushing the two rhinos in the New Hampshire governor's race. And, of course, the New Hampshire governor's race is a guy from Maryland who moved here and is running. And he's pushing him and Scott Brown. Don't even get me started on Brown. But both of these guys stink, and Christie's pushing them both. So is Romney,
yeah.
By the way. Yay!
Yeah, well, you know, apparently Romney is going to be the next president, according to some people. You know, do
he's
we really have to recycle the same losers that we have all the time? I mean, for God's sake, don't we have anybody out there who's new and fresh and got some ideas? We really have to, why don't we just bring back John McCain if we're going to do that?
Oh, my good Lord, help me. They don't want people fresh. We have another candidate running in New Hampshire. His name is Andrew Hemingway. He's a grassroots guy. He's a millennial. He's a young guy. Fabulous, fabulous liberty guy. He's got great ideas. He's an entrepreneur. He would make an absolutely fantastic governor in New Hampshire. But what's the establishment do? They get some dumbass from Maryland to come in and run for governor. Just like they got Scott Brown to come in from Mass and run for senator. Come on.
Yeah.
We're fighting two sides. The liberty people, the people who are liberty activists who you know, believe in the Constitution, believe in actually believe in smaller government, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, less spending, less taxes. We're fighting two fronts. We're fighting the left and we're fighting the right. And that's a problem.
Exactly. We're fighting the left, and we're fighting the Republicans, the progressives
yeah.
on both sides. And, you know,
yep.
it's more difficult to fight
exactly.
the left. I mean, at least you know where the left stands. And one thing I can say for the left is they know where they stand, and they defend their positions. When it comes to the Republicans, they're all squish. You know, they'll go over to the left if it suits them. They hate conservatives. They'd rather see a leftist win than see a conservative win. You know, at least I can respect the left for being true to their own beliefs, even if they're wrong.
Right, exactly. They just, they believe, and they keep pushing for it. I mean, put it this way, in New Hampshire alone, in the state Senate, there are 9 Republican primaries. There's only 1 on the Democrat side. What does that tell you? They're a collective. They will push to all be alike and have the same ideology. They argue. They just don't do it in public.
That's right. That's right. In public, they all present a unified front.
Right. Right, exactly. I think we have Mr. Scott on the phone.
Excellent.
Yes, you do. You guys are doing great. You're doing absolutely great. Some great callers, great activists, hard workers, Jennifer Montrose and Brad and John and everybody that's called in so far. Some great people in the chat room. Let me tell you, the chat room's full. And on Blog Talk Radio, about 90% of the listens are actually not live. They're in Memorex. They listen to the archives. So I always know if the chat room's full, you're going to have a whole lot of archived listeners as well. So you guys are doing a great job. Excellent.
Excellent. I like to hear that. Wonderful.
Well, and I'll tell you, I love your discussion about Hillary Clinton. I've been saying for a long time, she's not running. The reason why she's staying is twofold, and you hit the one big reason. She makes a great dartboard. They'll leave everybody else alone if she's running. And she's
yep.
worth a lot of money to the DNC by just the speculation of her running. But I've always said, you know, the far left really does not like Hillary. She's basically, when it comes to foreign policy, even though she's been following Barack Obama's foreign policy for her last job, she's basically known as a hawk. And the far left really, really doesn't like her too much. That was why Barack Obama had such an easy time walking away with that. But she's not well-liked. She's not in good health. And I've always said this, you know, when you let the number of pictures be taken of you that make you look as bad as they let Hillary Clinton look. You're not planning on running for president. The people that are closest to them, Dick Morris says she's not running. Mr. Nichols, the Clinton Chronicle, says she's not running. The people that know them the best don't think she's running. So I think you guys hit it right on the nose. I think she's playing the dartboard. I think she's taking all the arrows that she can to keep them off of everybody else, and they're going to slide somebody in there, whether it be Castro or what'd you call Pocahontas, I love that, or one of the many ones out there that they got.
Or Joe Biden, don't forget him. Joe Biden.
Oh, yeah. I hope they run
Joe. We don't need any more drunks in the White House. Think about it. While Hillary Clinton's taking, you're right, I like how you put that, how she's taking arrows. While she's taking all these arrows, Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker are like the two highest fundraisers aside from the Clintons who are going around helping all these Democrats in certain states. So there's definitely some shenanigans going on. I mean, it's a good game plan on their part, to be honest with you. But what they're going to do is they'll build up those guys, because Cory Booker is an actual likable guy. Elizabeth Warren, she's not. I don't know how anyone can even stand to listen to her more than 5 minutes. It makes me want to scratch my eyes out and make my ears bleed. She would, I don't know how good she'd be, but Cory Booker is kind of a likable guy. So
yeah,
there's definitely some things going on the back end. They're planning this just like they freaking plan everything else. And the GOP is going to have no freaking clue what happened.
Right, because we'll be stuck with Peter King or whoever. You know, whatever loser they plan on putting forward this time. So
yeah, because God forbid it's a guy that, you know, like Ted Cruz or Trey Gowdy or someone like that, you know?
Well, they wouldn't want anybody like that because, you know, like I said, they hate conservatives worse than they hate the left.
Yeah,
I mean, look
true.
What happened in Mississippi. That was proof of that.
I still can't get over that, to be honest with you. I was telling someone about that recently, and they're like, are you kidding me? They thought I meant the left did some of the attack things I told them about, and I said, no. That was establishment Republicans doing that to a candidate who was more conservative and more liberty-oriented than the establishment guy.
That's right.
That's right. Well, I'm going to head out of here and listen on the back end. You guys are doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. It's so wonderful to have you as a part of our little Contending for Truth radio family. And we're looking forward to, as the weeks go on, each night on Wednesday nights as we do War by Women Radio, looking forward to seeing that website get up and just kudos, you girls.
Thanks, Scott. And thank you
for
the opportunity. Yes.
No problem. I'll let you run.
Scott's done a great job getting us set up and getting us, helping us figure this whole thing out, because we're both a couple of amateurs here.
Yeah, I've only ever been a guest on Blog Talk Radio. I've never done the actual show myself.
Exactly. But judging from the number of calls we've had, you know, I'm encouraged.
I am, you know, like Jennifer said, this is, and pretty much everyone said, this is really important. And, you know, as individuals, I think a lot of us have been fighting it, and there's other women out there doing the same thing. I mean, seriously, Katie just came out with her book, and John mentioned another book that I'll have to check out that came out. We've all been saying the same things for the past several years, and some women for even more, but now's
right.
The time to be loud about it.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
There's a candidate running in New Hampshire. Sorry, I keep bringing up New Hampshire. It's just I'm very involved in local politics, so that's what I'm going by. But there's a candidate running in New Hampshire. She's a female. She's fighting the war on women. You know, and she's speaking out against it. And it's like, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to her as a Democrat when she says, "No, you're wrong. I don't need this or that. I can take care of that myself," you know? They really can't say anything because they look like needy little idiots. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Well, it all comes down to, are we going to be a free country or not? It's as simple as that. Are we going to be a free country or not? And you have to, when you talk to people that you know, because, I mean, when we spread the message of conservatism, it's mostly on a one-on-one basis. We're talking to our friends, we're talking to our coworkers, we're talking to our relatives, you know. And that's where we're winning the battles one by one. But ultimately, you have to ask people, what kind of country do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a country where you determine your own destiny, where you make the majority of your choices about your own life, or do you want to trust a bunch of nameless, faceless bureaucrats who not only don't care about you but have wicked disdain for you to make all those decisions for you? I mean, look at the way city council meetings are run. if that's not an indication, why would you want to expand that into some massive federal bureaucracy? And we're so entangled with it, we have to put the brakes on it now.
And that's the problem. And the other thing, too, is there's so much – the federal government has grown so huge. And, there's so much corruption. And there's corruption at the local level, at the state level. There's just so much absolute corruption in government that it's no longer being run by the people for the people. It's being run by those people against we the people.
Right. Those people and their special interest groups.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And this is across the country. Why is the federal government so huge? It's doing way more things than it was ever meant to do, than what the Constitution allows it to do. Why are they so big? Because they have pushed for decades, people need government. People need more government. You need more programs. You need more, we need more money so we can help, quote unquote, more people, when in reality their help is nothing but hurting people.
Exactly. I mean, this has been going on for more than 100 years with the first progressive movement from about the early 20th century, late 19th century is about when it got started. So they've been working for a long time. So it's not something we're going to be able to untangle overnight, like you said.
Oh God, no! And that's the hard part. You got to keep fighting for every step of the way. And the thing I always say is, and I learned, someone else told me this. I didn't and taught me this because I used to fight only at national level politics, but they said no. All politics is local. If you can change it on the local level, that pushes up to the national level. So that's why
right.
I focus on local now. Because if you can get local people on the local level to understand the ideologies of the people who are in charge, right above them, the people they can actually call up on the phone or shake hands with or go to their office, you can get them to elect the right people, and they're going to do that up the ladder.
That's right. I think we need more people to be involved. That's the biggest problem, is people are so uninvolved. It's like they don't care, or either they feel like there's nothing they can do. And this immigration thing is a prime example of the way the government is so arrogant that they feel like we can do whatever we want. We're not even subject to the American citizen anymore. We have to answer to the American taxpayer. Barack Obama thinks he can just grant amnesty with a stroke of a pen, and he doesn't care what Americans think because he knows that Americans are either not paying attention or they feel powerless to do anything about it.
Well, there's so many. One of the things, and this is something that the left does, is they create so much chaos that no one can focus on one. I mean, look at all the stuff that's actually going on right now. There's so many different things going on that people can't all, like, say the immigration thing was the only thing going on. Everybody could focus on that, right? But we have the economy, we have bad jobs, we still have the IRS scandal, we have Benghazi, we have the Israel Hamas situation going on. There's so many different things going on that our attention is divided across all these things as opposed to on one thing.
Exactly. And then just within the immigration issue itself, you've got all these little splinter issues involved with it, too.
Right.
It's like your brain has to be on a constant swivel all the time.
Well, and you're right. With the immigration issue, just by itself, there's a whole slew of issues in it. And a lot of people can't even grasp all the issues that are going on. You have to, if people just understood our borders are being invaded, we're not protecting ourselves, terrorists are coming through, more drugs are coming through, more criminals and horrible people are coming through because they're allowing these unaccompanied children and their parents. Let's face it, toddlers aren't walking across by themselves. I've seen toddlers. And all these things are going on. It's overwhelming for regular people who aren't into this like we are.
Yeah. Well, this is when people will get involved when they are personally affected. Like, I mean, down here in the South, we have all the school systems are starting back. They all start in August down here. So if you have all these illegal alien kids coming over here with diseases that nobody's bothered to screen them for, put them in a school with all these other American kids, and then pretty soon you've got kids coming home with diseases that the parents never even had to consider. That's going to be the thing that tweaks them enough to make them wake up, hopefully. I'm not wishing sickness on anybody's kid, but I'm saying that when people feel personally affected by a crisis, that's when they'll get involved.
Oh, my God, you're so 100% right on that. And it's sad, but it's true. And that's one of the reasons our country is in so much trouble, because people didn't pay attention, and they don't pay attention until it affects them directly. You're right.
Exactly. But then by the time it affects you directly, sometimes it's too late to do anything about it. So kind of like catch-22.
Exactly, like with Common Core and Obamacare. Well, actually, a lot of people didn't want that. The majority of people didn't want that. But other people were like, it's not going to affect me. I don't care. Now they do, but, you know, before they didn't.
That's right. And then when they got passed, you had that hag Pelosi wading through the crowd with that gavel in her hand.
And fell on it and got a concussion.
That shows the disdain that the ruling class has for the American people.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why it has to be taken down.
Exactly. And once again, I was talking about this today earlier. These people work for us. We don't work for them. We pay them. We elect them. They need to do the job that is the best for we, the people, not they, the ruling class, exactly like what you just said.
Right. Right. And we have no choice.
The problem is... Go ahead.
You don't have a choice to either get involved or stand on the sideline anymore. Especially things are happening so fast, too. It's like there's a new crisis every day.
There's things we don't even know. Can you imagine? Okay, think about this. There's certain things we know about, right? And all these things are really bad. Can you imagine what we don't know about? What
scares me is all the backroom deals that are going on.
Yeah.
That never
see
the light of day.
And we'll probably never know about them until all of a sudden some law or some right or something is taken away because of some backroom deal.
Exactly.
Or God forbid, something really, really bad happens.
Yeah, like if some terrorist comes across our wide open border with a dirty bomb, blows it up in one of our cities, I mean, will that make people wake up? What's it going to take?
You know what? You're right. What's it going to take, right?
Exactly.
I mean, part of what we're doing is to wake up women, but also to wake up other people because, I mean, we might be preaching to the choir. Who knows? Probably. But if we can inform enough people, then that makes a difference.
Right. It's about you going out and talking to your neighbor. Because, like,
exactly.
Like I said, you're, I mean, most people are not going to reach like a vast audience. You know, they're not going to have a huge platform. But if you can go out and talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to your coworkers, your relatives, you know, says whatever, anyone that you can reach, then that person can go out and reach their acquaintances.
Exactly. It has a domino effect, and it works.
Right. And it's and pretty soon you have a network of people that are spreading the word, and that's what we're trying to build here.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because earlier there's a mayor in a city, the biggest city, the largest city in New Hampshire, who, you know, all these parents came out last October and said, we don't want Common Core. So they said, okay, we're not going to do Common Core. We're going to have the highest standards in the state that every city and town is going to want to copy us. What did they give us? Common Core.
Right.
And they did it in the middle of summer when parents aren't paying attention, parents aren't at PTA meetings or school, you know, after school activities talking to each other. So we, or some people, have been putting out flyers. We've been on radio shows. We've been writing about it. I was on two television shows that are local to the city earlier today talking about it, alerting parents to it. One show that has totally nothing to do with politics, the guy had us on for 2 hours because he has the largest audience in the city.
Oh, wow.
To get parents out. Yeah, we just hope it works. Because one of the biggest excuses of a lot of legislators and school board people is, well, parents don't care. They don't come to the meetings. Yeah, most of the time because they don't know when the meetings are.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. But,
yeah,
you know,
and then these are the people that do the backroom deals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even have kids, and I'm rabid about this stuff. So to me, there's no excuse. There's no excuse for people who do have kids and who don't do anything.
Well, I was talking to a parent today in Manchester, which is the city in New Hampshire, and she said that she's like, you wouldn't believe some of the parents. She's like, they have no intention of helping teach their kids. They don't care. It's up to the school. They're too busy, you know, doing this, that, and the other thing to really care what's going on with their kids. Those are the people that we're having to worry about. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those are the people that should be coming out and fighting against this as opposed to sitting home and just letting government take care of everything.
Yeah. Well, that's just the easy way. Because people don't want to put forth an effort. Effort requires work. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, that's a good point. We've become the society of effortless things. I mean, let's face it. If we don't have to lift a finger to do something, it's much easier that way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But luckily, there's a lot of people, a lot of activists out there in this country, thankfully, speaking out, yelling loudly with their voices, with their actions. They're going door to door. They're trying to explain to people what's going on and get them involved. And like you said, it's got to be personal. The only way it can work is if you make it personal. On one of the shows I was on today, the host was like, forget Common Core being bad. It's about the Constitution. It's not constitutional. I'm like, yeah, but that's over the heads of a lot of people. Half the people probably have never even read the Constitution. You have to get them on the level they understand.
Right. Most people don't even know what their freedoms are. So if you don't know what your freedoms are, how you know if you're losing them?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, most people don't. And that's the thing. That's another war on women, taking control out of education with something like Common Core. That not only is a war on women who are mothers of children, but it's a war on the little girls who are eventually going to turn into women because it's going to dumb them down into worker drones.
Right. Yeah. And then once you get to that stage, there would have to be bloodshed to get your freedom back. I don't want to see you come to that. And with the technology that, you know, with the government sees everything you do now. So I don't even know if it would be possible to get the freedom back.
No, because they keep voting it back in.
Right.
Both sides. Both sides.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Is people don't realize they've lost freedom until they try to exercise that freedom, and they can't.
Exactly. It's like that story about the how do you trap wild pigs. Have you heard that? You lay some corn, out in the woods. And until the pigs get used to in the same spot every day, the pigs will get used to coming to that spot. And then one day you put one side of a fence up. Until the next day you put the second side, and then the third side. And then finally you put the gate on where you've got them trapped.
Oh.
And they don't realize that. And then they're trapped because they've gotten so used to eating that free corn.
Wow. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know, and the sad part is I was one of those people before, not for the free stuff or whatever, but when I lived in Massachusetts previous to fleeing to New Hampshire, I didn't practice my Second Amendment rights. I knew it existed. I just thought the freedom was there. And when I went to practice my Second Amendment rights, I found out that, no, it really wasn't there in Massachusetts. In order for me to get a license to carry, I'd have to be treated like a criminal, give my fingerprint to the chief of police, whether or not he wanted to give it to me, even if I passed the federal background check. So that's what I'm saying, like people, and I didn't know this. I didn't know this because I never tried to practice them before that. I didn't know what they were putting into place because I didn't pay attention. Like most people don't pay attention. And this is the majority of the country.
Yeah. And we tend to forget that because we're so involved. We think that, there's a lot of people waking up. And maybe there are more people than before. But we have to remember the majority of people out there still don't know what's going on for the most part.
No. No, they don't. And one of the things, I have a Political Buzz radio show every Monday morning. And previous to when the legislature in New Hampshire was still in session, what I did was talk about legislation that was pending or being voted on or even being that was written. And they, most people don't know what was going on. I didn't before I started researching. So most people don't know that, you know, mostly Democrats were trying to take our Second Amendment rights away. They were trying to take our First Amendment rights away, including some Republicans. They were trying to put all these things into place, and no one knows what they're doing because they're not paying attention.
Oh, wow.
Sad. That's every state. That's every state. You know, unless you have a representative who is actually informing you about what's going on and sending you weekly newsletters or whatever, which we have a few that do that out of 435.
Right.
But unless you know what's going on, and most people don't have time or don't have don't want to listen to legislation all day, listen to the hearings or look up the bills, or maybe they can't understand them. So that's
right.
Where we come in, because we can explain to regular people who don't have the time to do this, guess what? This is what's going on. Now you need to make some phone calls.
Exactly. And that's part of the problem. We have legislation that's like thousands of pages long. Seriously? It's insane.
And if you look, exactly. And if you look at most legislation, not only does it have, there's a title of the bill, whatever, but if you look at all the tag words or the keywords in it, it's got all kinds of other unrelated crap in it. A lot of it's pork, has nothing to do with the bill. They can't ever just write a bill that's one or two pages that maybe solves the problem or does what it intends. They have to fill it with all other kinds of crap. because that's how they work in D.C. now.
Right. So, to say that we live in a free country, if we're being realistic, yeah, it's freer than countries out there. But it's certainly not. It's certainly not what I would consider to be free, where you can, you know, when you have regulations that dictate just about every area of your life. I mean, yeah, most people, they think of, oh, I'm free to go to Walmart and buy whatever I want. That's their idea of freedom.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, if you buy a house, you're a homeowner, right? You think you believe you own that property, right? But even if you pay off your house and you, quote, own that property, God forbid you don't pay your property taxes, you're getting that taken away from you.
Exactly.
You never own your own home, really.
That's true. The government always has their strings attached.
Yeah, unless you live, there are some places probably where there are no property taxes. There are property taxes. So, you know, God forbid. You don't, and probably even the feds could take it if you just didn't pay income taxes or something. I mean, I don't know. You know, they could take your assets. But, you know, gosh, what freedom is that if we do all this work hard, you know, buy this piece of property? It's supposed to be our freedom, you know, our livelihood. But in reality, it can be taken away from you if, you know, for a couple months you can't afford the property tax, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, how much freedom is that?
Well, people think, oh, 4th of July, that's the day we celebrate our freedom. And they'll go out and wave their flags and watch their fireworks and have their picnics, whatever. And then the next day they'll go to the mailbox and look for their government check.
Yep. And that's not freedom. That is dependence.
Right.
And that's one of the big problems. We have too many people who are now dependent on the government, whether they are federal, state, or local workers, or people who are getting some kind of assistance from the government. It's at the point now, Christy, where it's more of them than it is of us.
That's right, and they're their own voting bloc. And when you can tip the scale because you have the majority of the population that's dependent on those programs, then it's game over.
Yep. You know, was it Margaret Thatcher, who was another great, strong, independent woman? Was it her that said, eventually with socialism, you run out of other people's money?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we're what, $17 trillion for our deficit?
Right.
We're already running on borrowed time, and no one's doing anything to change it. No one did anything to change it when Republicans were in power. No one's doing anything to change it now. It's going to take real, true, conservative, liberty-oriented people to be in charge and grab power in order for us to, like you said earlier, put the brakes on this and turn it around.
Right. And we need somebody who's brave enough to do that.
And we need someone who is not only brave enough to do that and tell the truth and make the hard decision, but who can also win over the population with their personality, with their, you know, telling people, you know, this is what we have now. This is what we should have. It's going to hurt a little bit for some people, but it's going to be better in the long run.
Right. And maybe your children won't curse you to your face when they get older for leaving them with a country that's completely destroyed.
I'm sad for the future of the kids in this country. I really am sad.
Yeah, me too.
Because,
I have children.
You know, you what?
I was going to say there's children in my family. I don't have kids myself, but I do have nieces and nephews, and I want to see them do well.
Yeah, and that's the sadness that comes in. Like, we were able to do better than our parents, maybe, and our parents did better than their parents. But there's no way our kids or our nieces and nephews, right now, there's no way they're going to do better than this than us unless, you know, they come up with some great intervention or whatever. You know what I mean? But just in general, generations typically did better than the ones before them. It's not that way anymore.
No, it's the baby boom generation that destroyed it. I blame them.
Yeah. Yeah, because they voted all these jackals in.
Yeah. Damn hippies.
That's because those damn hippies always, the damn hippies who were against the man back in the 70s, they are the man now. Look at that Ayers. He's teaching college kids. He should be in prison.
I know.
I mean, seriously, the world is ass backwards. People who should be in prison are now teaching at universities, and they're revered professors.
Yeah. So that's another front on the whole war. It's not just in the government; it's in the educational system, because that's where
it all starts. Yeah.
That's where the indoctrination
and that's
starts.
And that's part of where the war on women begins, is in the university system where they teach women you're a victim. You deserve equal rights, even though we already have them. You deserve equal pay, even though we already get it. I mean, you know, that's like propaganda that's ingrained in women's brains at a young age. I luckily went to a conservative college, so I didn't deal with that. But I know most of the colleges and most of the universities, that's how they are.
Exactly.
So
we have our work cut out for us, that's for sure.
I know, really? Did we just like explain all these things that we have to do and try to change in one show?
Well, at least we have plenty of content for weeks to come.
Well, you know what? You know, tonight, so everybody that's listening and that's online, tonight was just our introductory. We're gonna set up a format where we, you know, talk about things that are current in the news, and we did a little bit with the princess thing, but we sort of wanted to set a background for the show and our thoughts and how we stand on things. And you know, we plan on having guests, and we plan on promoting other women who are waging the same battle as us, and other men who are waging the same battle. But this was just, you know, this was our first show, and we just wanted to give some background so you get to know who we are if you don't already.
Yes. And if you don't, you will soon.
Oh, yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
And as you can tell, we're not shy.
No. We should do it on a Friday night one time just to see what happens.
Oh, my, that would be absolutely hysterical.
Oh.
Well, we have 10 seconds left of the show. I'm getting the countdown by Margaret Thatcher, Scott calls her because she has a British accent. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we hope you'll come back next week, and we'll have more fun topics and more War by Women Radio.
Amen. Thanks. Signing off.